We'll begin the current daf, Masechtas Nedarim, daf Mem Beis. Begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing the theme and the thread of the previous Mishnayos regarding the halachas that relate between a madr and a mudr when someone is forbidden based on the nether to have a nav from his friend. So the Mishnah says as follows, and it's an enigmatic Mishnah that's going to be elaborated on and discussed in the Gemara. So the Mishnah says, Hamudr hano mechaveru lefnei shvias. If someone was forbidden based on the principle of a nether to have a hanah from his friend before a Shemitah year, that is the 7-year cycle, on the 6 years a person owns his produce, on the 7th year his field is declared hefker by Hashem from the mitzvah Shemitah, that his fruits can be taken by anybody. So now we're talking about that he took the nether before the Shemitah year. And therefore, since this person is forbidden to have hanah from this person, from his items, so in the year l'teich sedeu, he's not allowed to go into the field of the madr. And the reason being is because someone that's forbidden to have a nav from a person based on a neder is not allowed to even do what's called drisus regel, to go on the other person's property, as we learned previously in the Mishnah from Beis HaMabeis. And of course, ve'en oichel min anoitis, he cannot eat even from the overhanging fruit that's not even in the field, where it's from those trees that are by the edge of the field, so it leans over the road. Even those fruits, even though he's not going into the field, but since he can't have enough from that person, neither can he eat from those overhanging fruits. Now, ubeshvius, in the Shemitah year, and the Gemara is going to explain exactly what does this mean in the Shemitah year. Is it a continuation of the previous case, which is that when he took the nether before Shemitah, now, however, when it extends into the Shemitah year, what's the halacha? Or is it talking about a different case, and that is a new case? If a nether is made in the Shemitah year, be that as it may, as we're going to see in the Gemara, but in the Shemitah year, the halacha changes. In the year of the Teich Sedeu, of course, he could still not go into the person's field because it's forbidden on as a neder to come into his field. But he is allowed to eat from the overhanging fruit on the road. And the reason being is because in the Shemitah year, the produce is not considered that madr's produce. Hashem says it's declared ownerless. Anyone can eat it. And therefore, although he's forbidden as a neder to have enough from that person, that's not considered that person's fruits, and he could eat from those fruits. Similarly, the Mishnah tells us, Nader hemenu meichel lefnei shvias. The ratio of the Mishnah was talking about when he made a neder of any hana. Now this is talking about the same type of differentiations, but regarding that the neder was regarding eating. So that was made before Shemitah. So, yor l'tech sedeu, obviously he could walk into that person's field, because there was no neder of pleasure, just of eating. But ve'ein oichem naperis, he can't eat from his fruits. Ubeshvius, but again, as we said in the Shemitah year, then actually yared ve'oichel, he could come into his field, because the neder wasn't on hanah, it was only on eating. And he could even eat his fruits, because again, in the Shemitah year, it's not his fruits, it's everybody's fruits. That's what it says in the Mishnah. Now the Gemara introduces the following machlokes amarom, where the Gemara will illustrate that regarding the interpretation of our Mishnah. Rav and Shmuel d'amr tavayu. Rav and Shmuel both said that if someone tells somebody else, Nechasim Eilu Olecha, these properties are forbidden on you, Lifnei Shvius, before the Shemitah year. So the halacha is, Ein Yer L'Teich Sedeu, he can't go into the person's field, meaning to say that this person was saying that my property, these properties, are forbidden on you. So since there's a neder forbidding him, so he can't come into his field, and Ve'en Oichel Min Anaitis, and neither can he eat from the overhanging fruit, which now it sounds like exactly what the halacha of the Mishnah was, where he's making a mudr hanom mechaveiroi, where he's saying that nechasim elu, these properties are forbidden on you, so you can't come into his field, and neither can he eat from the overhanging fruits. Now, afal pi shehegia shvius. Now he's going to be forbidden to come into his field and eat from his fruits, even if it's already now in the Shemitah year. The reason being is because Rav and Shmuel both hold that even though in the Shemitah year all that person's fruits are hefker, are they ownerless, so why is it that Rav and Shmuel are both saying that even in the Shemitah year this person, the mudr, cannot eat from the madr's fruits, is because since when he made the neder, it was his fruits, so the isser, the prohibition, takes effect to make it forbidden even in the Shemitah year when it leaves his domain and it goes into everyone's domain, to the public domain, it's still going to be forbidden. And that's because according to Rav and Shmuel, the Mishnah is teaching us two dinim. The first part of the Mishnah is teaching us that since he made the neder before Shemitah year, so it obviously takes effect as neder, moreover it takes effect even into the Shemitah year. That's one chiddush. Now, then Rav Shmuel teach, which is the next part of the Mishnah, when it says that ve'im b'shvi'is nadar, if they went and they made, if a person made a neder in the Shemitah year, so although obviously regarding his fruits, the neder cannot take effect, because once the Shemitah year started and they didn't make a neder yet, they're not his, they're ownerless produce, but it will take effect regarding his land, as the Gemara will later explain the why there's a discrepancy between the land and the produce, where the land is also permitted, because how could people eat his fruits if they can't come into his land? But on that is what Rav Shmuel will say in explanation of our Mishnah, that if he took the neder only in the Shemitah year, then ein yard l'teich sedeyu, the neder takes effect regarding his field. Aval oichel min anoitis, but he could eat from the overhanging fruit. So that's two different halachas. The Mishnah was saying two things. First, the Mishnah said that if someone takes a neder before the Shemitah year, so both are forbidden to go into his field and to eat from his fruits. And on that, Rabbi Shmuel are interpreting that halacha, even if it's already the Shemitah year. You took it before the Shemitah, but even now, if it goes into the Shemitah year, it's still going to be forbidden, because a person can make his thing forbidden, that it should be forbidden forever on that person, even when it leaves his domain, like in the Shemitah year. Then there's a different halacha, Uba Shvias, if he took the neder in the Shemitah year, so he can't make the fruits forbidden because it's not his fruits already, but he could make his land forbidden, as we're going to see later on. Why should that be if it's already permitted also for the person to be able to eat the fruits? That's Rav Shmuel. Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish Damar Tavaya, they both say, Nichsai Olecha, if somebody tells to somebody else, my properties are forbidden on you, Lifnei Shvias. He took this neder before the Shemitah year. So then, Ein Yard L'Teich Sedeyu, obviously the person cannot go into his field, and Ve'ein Oichel Men Anoitis, and neither can he eat from the overhanging fruits, because the person made a neder. You can't have any hanah from any of my things. Now, however, Higiyah Shvias, but if it then reaches the Shemitah year, so although in the year L'Teich Sedeyu, that the person still cannot go into his field, Avol Oichel Hu Es Anoitis, however, the Mudr could eat from the overhanging fruit, and the reason being is because the person is not forbidden to eat from the fruits which were taken in the neder from before the Shemitah year. Because the moment the Shemitah year comes, it becomes permitted. Now, on that the Gemara wants to say, let's say what is the machlokes Rav Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish? It's as follows. The Rav Shmuel Savri, Rav Shmuel both hold, a person can make something that's in his domain forbidden, even when it leaves his domain. This is mine now, and I can make this forbidden on you forever, even if at one point I'm going to sell it to someone else or it's going to leave the domain. And but Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish, they both hold that no. You can't make something forbidden. You can make it forbidden when you own it, but you can't make it forbidden to that person that it should be forbidden to him even when it leaves the person's own domain. Now, the Ran explains at length over here what is the understanding of this Gemara. It says that the Gemara's assumption right now is that Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish are all coming to explain the halacha of our Mishnah. Rav and Shmuel explains it like we just explained previously, that there's two different halachas. There's halacha of what happens when you take it before the Shemitah year, and when you do it on the Shemitah year, so the words Uba Shvi'is in the Mishnah is another case according to Rav and Shmuel. And therefore, their chiddush is that even if you take it beforehand, it's going to remain even for the Shemitah year, because even when it leaves his rishus, which is what happens to the payers in the Shemitah year, it's still going to be forbidden. Now, but Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, they explain that actually Uva Shvi'is is an extension of the first case. It's all one case. They're all talking about when you took the neder before Shemitah. Now, that the Mishnah says that this neder has two dinim. This neder that you took before Shemitah takes effect totally, that the person can't come into your property and neither can eat from your fruit. But when the Shemitah year then comes around, part of the neder is permitted, and the reason being is because although the person cannot come into your field, because the field is still in the person's domain, as the Gemara will explain at the end of Amud Beis, because seemingly it's not in the person's domain, because obviously Hashem lets the people get into the field to eat the fruits, and therefore the field on some level must not be his, but on some level it's still his field. And that's what the Gemara will explain in Amud Beis, but the fruits are going to be permitted. And the reason being is because in the Shemitah year, Hashem takes the produce from you and says it's not yours anymore, it's everybody's. So although when the person made the net against the other person was before the Shemitah year, it was in his domain, still Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish hold that a person, and that's what the Gemara is explaining now, cannot make something that's in his domain forbidden, that it should be forbidden even when it leaves his rishus. Now, the Ran explains a very important piece over here in the Gemara, which will continue throughout the discussion on Ta'amid Beis. And that is, if one analyzes the wording that was used in this Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel and Birchim and Shlakish, the wording is actually different, although it sounds like they're talking about the same type of cases. Rabbi Shmuel used the words, according to the Girsa of our Gemara and the way the Ran is explaining it, is that Nechasim Eilu Alecha, these properties are forbidden on you. Now, in contrast, the wording of Rabbi Yechonir Shlokesh is actually Nechasai Alecha, my properties are forbidden on you. Now, the Ran explains as follows. Says the Gemara's assumption right now at this point in the explanation of this Machlekes is that since Rabbi Yechonir Shlokesh holds that a person cannot make something that's in his property forbidden to when it leaves his property, and again, that's why they explain the halacha, the Mishnah Uba Shvius, as one case, not like Rav and Shmuel, like it's two cases, and that therefore, once it reaches Shemitah year, the produce is already removed. The Gemara's assumption right now is even if the Mander is saying Nechasim Eilu, and he doesn't say Nechasai, even if he says these properties are going to be forbidden on you, or even the Gemara's assumption is, where he says explicitly, where he's saying that I want this to be forbidden on you, even when it leaves my domain, he can't go ahead and do that. And that's because, as we're going to see in the Gemara, there's really three levels of ways of prohibiting something that a person has on someone else. The lowest is where he says, Nechasai, my properties. My properties could sound like, and we're going to explain this throughout the Gemara, is that only when they're mine. When they're not mine anymore, then they're not going to be forbidden on you. A higher level is, Nechasim Eilu, these properties are forbidden on you. Well, that doesn't sound like just mine, these properties. But still, it doesn't say explicitly that even when it leaves his domain. The highest level is when he says, yes, these should be forbidden on you even when it leaves my domain. That would be the highest level. So the Ran's explaining that the Gemara's assumption right now, the way he's explaining the fundamental principle, what they're arguing on, seemingly in Rabbi Yechon and Shlakish, it wouldn't be, although the words that they use are the words Nechasai, it seemingly, as the Ran's going to explain right now, that although the words Nechasai could sound like that, it's only then that you cannot continue the Issa, which would make sense, because Nechasai is only when it's mine, when it's Shemitah year, which is what they're saying, that then the person could eat from the fruits, that then of course it's permitted, because it's not his Nechasim. On that, the Ran's explaining, the Gemara is going right now, that even if he said Nechasim Eilu, and even if he said explicitly, I want to be forbidden when it leaves my domain, he can't do that, because a person cannot be Issa, for when it leaves his domain. And the Ran explains, says, how do I know this? That Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish are not necessarily talking about the wording that like they use of Nechasai, that's my properties that I'm being forbidden on you. But rather, it's going back on the words of Rav and Shmuel, that they're continuing that theme, where Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish are coming to argue on Rav and Shmuel, that Rav and Shmuel said the halacha of Nechasim Eilu, and on that is what Rabbi Yechon and Shlakish are coming to say, that even by Nechasim Eilu, it's not going to be forbidden. So, because the Ran says as follows, because if it was true that Rabbi Yechon and Shlakish were only saying it's forbidden, that it's not going to be forbidden in the Shemitah when he says Nechasai, so then he says, so what would be the chiddush of the Tanya of the Mishnah? As follows. The Reish of the Mishnah definitely was not necessarily to say that if you take a neder before the Shemitah year, that the neder is going to take effect, because that's obvious. You make a neder on somebody, of course it's going to be forbidden. You can't come into the field and they can't eat from the fruit. Now, if you're going to say, as we said before, that the Reish is only as a prelude to the Seifa, to tell us that since you originally said Nechasai, that my properties are forbidden on you, but when the Shemitah year comes around, so then the half of the net is going to be permitted, in other words, then the person could eat from the fruits because, oh, it's not Nechasai anymore, it's not mine because it's everybody's. So on that, the Ran says, the Tanya of the Mishnah would not have to tell us that halacha, because obviously, when you use the words Nechasai, it's only when it's in his Rishus. Because even more than this, we learn later on, Daf Mem Vav Med Aleph, where the Gemara is going to bring it shortly, when someone tells his friend, Koinim lebeischa shani nichnas, based as an isra of a neder, I'm not going to come into your house. Or sadcha shani lekecho, I'm not going to buy your field. Now, the halacha is brought that if he dies or if he sells it to someone else, it's going to be permitted. Now, if that's the case even by a neider, and this is also an important piece, when there's a neider and a mader, mader is making someone else aser to a muder. A neider is when someone makes someone else's thing forbidden on himself, where he's the mader and the muder. So when someone else which in that case of when Beischa Shani Lekeach or Beischa Shani Nichnas, where there's no doubt that obviously he could make his friends things forbidden on himself, even when it leaves that person's domain. That we say that, but he could say Bayezeh, he could make this thing forbidden forever on him. In spite of that, when he says Beischa, your house, still that halach is illustrating, that's only going to be forbidden for him to come into that house when it's that person's house. Now, all the more so, the Ran says, in the case of a madir, where he's making someone else forbidden on his things, where there definitely we could be in doubt, as we see from our Gemara, if you could make something forbidden when it leaves your own domain onto someone else. So it's obvious that when you use the words nechasai, my properties, obviously it's only going to be aster when it's in his domain. Because if we say by a noider, who's more stringent, but when he says beischa or nechasecha, that it's going to be only when it's in that person. So all the more so when a madar says beisi or nechasai, it's equivalently the same. Now therefore, if Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish were talking about only the way their wording sounds like of nechasai, then it would be that a person can't make it aser, that if it goes into the Shemitah, it's going to be mutter for everybody to eat. The Tanya, the Mishnah, wouldn't be teaching anything, not in the Reisha and not in the Sefer. So therefore, the Ran concludes, must be, that Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish are even going on, and this is what they're arguing on, Rav and Shmuel, that not when they say Nechasai, it's not necessarily Nechasai, it's even in the case of Nechasim Elu, that they hold a person can't make it forbidden. And now the Mishnah makes sense. Where the Reisha was taught, you're right, the Reisha itself wasn't saying a Chiddush, but it was for the case of the Sefer to teach us that even where the person made a neder on someone else, Nechasim Elu, these properties are forbidden on you, his neder cannot take effect for when it leaves his domain. In other words, so what's the chiddush in that? Oh, that is a chiddush rated. You shouldn't say that just like we say later on, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, by a neder, when someone says to someone else, this house, doesn't say your house, that's important, this house I'm not entering, that so the halacha there is brought that if that homeowner dies, or if he sells it to someone else, it is going to be aser, because he could make it forbidden on himself when it leaves to someone else's domain. So therefore, you would think to say also over here, when someone else tells to his friend that these properties, not my properties, these properties are forbidden to you, that the Isser should take effect even for when it leaves the Rishos of the Madr, that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, that's not the case. That's only when the Neder himself, who he can make someone else's properties forbidden on himself, even for when it leaves that person's domain and goes into someone else's domain, because it's still going to be Nichsi Chaveroi. But the Madr, to make someone else forbidden, for when it leaves his domain to someone else, he can't do that. And the reason being is because there's a halacha that a person cannot make someone else's properties forbidden on someone else. And that's essentially what it's going to be when it leaves his own domain. And therefore, the Mishnah makes sense according to where the Gemara is holding right now. Again, as we explained, we have the Machlikas Rav Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish, and how to explain the Mishnah. Is it one long case, as we find by Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish? And the reason for their opinion is, as we explained in the Ran, it's not just, although the words they use over here, Nechasai Alecha, it's not just in such a case, because then the Mishnah wouldn't be teaching us any Chiddush. It's even talking about when he says Nechasim Elu, and as the Ran said, actually it's even talking about when he says explicitly, I want to be forbidden when it leaves my domain. Doesn't make a difference. A person cannot be Oyser Dover Bishusay for when it leaves his domain. And therefore, as the Mishnah says in one long case, when it comes to the Shemitah year, and Hashem says it's not in your Rishus anymore, so of course they could eat it. Whereas Rav and Shmuel hold that no, a person could make something in their domain forbidden for even after. So the Mishnah is actually two different cases. There's the halacha when you take the neder before Shemitah, which that extends even to the Shemitah year. And however, but if you take the neder in the Shemitah year, when the fruits are already not yours, so the land you can make forbidden, but the fruits are going to be permitted already because they already hefker before you made the neder. That's the machlekes Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish. Now, on that the Gemara asks, the Tisbara, is it really true? And that is, mi ikalamanda amar, is there really such an opinion that ein odem oiser davish b'shusa l'kashayit m'shusa? Is it really true that Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish hold that a person could not make something forbidden in his domain, that it should be forbidden even when it leaves his domain? But imkain, if so, the Gemara asks that Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish hold that a person cannot make it forbidden, then niflagi, they should have argued explicitly, and they should have said it's even going to be permitted b'nechasim elu, b'kashkim b'nechasim. And all the more so we would know it when he says that it's just my properties that you've forbidden it. And essentially, the Gemara is asking the question that we were getting by with, and that is, we explained that, oh, although Rabbi Yochanan Shlokesh only used the words Nechasai, but they're really Agra and Rabbi Shmuel who used the words Nechasim Eilu. And that the Gemara is asking, but why? If that's really the fundamental principle of their opinion, then they shouldn't have said the words Nechasai. They should have said even Nechasim Eilu, because it doesn't make a difference if you want to make it Asai afterwards. You cannot. And all the more so we would know it when you just say Nechasai, where we said that's obvious. You wouldn't even need the time of the Mishnah to teach us that, because if by a Neider, by Beischa is only when it's in his domain, so for sure by a Madir, when he says Nechasai, it's only then, but Shemitah, obviously, it wouldn't be. That's question number one. V'su ha'tanam, but the Gemara asks, moreover, we learn in the Mishnah, that the Adam Oitzadah V'sher B'shus HaLikash Yitzim B'shus, that a person could make something in his domain forbidden for when it leaves his domain, and that is at least when you explicitly say that you want it to be forbidden. So you can't say, as you're explaining in the Havamina now, that Rabbi Yochanan Shlokesh's opinion is that you can't make something forbidden for when it leaves your domain. It's not like we learn the Mishnah later on, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, someone says to his son, Ka'inim sha'ata nenali. You're forbidden based on that to have any pleasure from me. So the halacha is, if the father dies, Yerushena, the son does inherit the father. And the reason being is because he's not having anah, he's not having pleasure from his father, rather from the inheritance that the Torah is giving him. That's not considered coming from the father. Now, however, if the father says, Bechayav u'bemaisai, you're forbidden to have anah from me both when I'm alive and when I'm dead. So that the Gemara continues, Amad Beis, the halacha is, Imeis lo Yerushena. If the father dies, the son does not inherit him. Now, the Ran says it doesn't necessarily really mean that he doesn't inherit him, because these properties most definitely are going to be the child's, as the Ran will explain later on, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. He definitely inherits it. It's just because since in the Reisha we use the word Yerushena that he inherits him, so, and the reason being is because he's like any other inheritors that's permitted even to have Hano from the properties, because it's not coming from the father. So therefore, the Tana said in the Sefer the words lo Yerushena. But it doesn't really mean he doesn't inherit it. It means to say that he's not permitted to have hana from the inheritance. That's the halacha over there. But one thing the Gemara is asking is that we see from that Mishnah is that a person could make his produce forbidden on someone else for when it leaves his domain. That's what the father is doing to the son. B'chayev u'b'maiseh. And there is going to be an isra hana after he dies. And it's not like the way we explained in the Havamina, like you can't make someone else's properties forbidden on someone else. Because when the father dies, it's not his, like someone else's on someone else, that you can't do that. Now we see not. We see that, according to everybody, there's a Mishnah that says that you could make something forbidden for when it leaves your domain. So on that, the Gemara answers, Shani Hacha. Here, what you're bringing from this halacha is different, because the Ka'amale B'chayiv B'maisi. You're right. There it's different because he explicitly said, I want it to be forbidden both when I'm alive and when I'm dead. So, as the Ran explains, now we downgraded one step from how we thought in the Havamina. And that is, we thought up until now, according to the Pinya B'rich and the Shlokish, that nothing that you say can make something in your Rishus right now forbidden when it leaves your Rishus. Because we thought that would essentially be like trying to make someone else's property forbidden on themselves, which you can't do that. You can only make your stuff forbidden on someone else. But now the Gemara agrees that if a person explicitly says that I want my stuff to be forbidden on that person, even when it leaves my Rishus, that he obviously could do that, as we see by the father. Now, however, the Ran explains that from this point itself, that meaning that this question that we had on the previous interpretation, that obviously we had to downgrade, but as we see in the Gemara's explanation right now, is that we say that, you're right, when you explicitly say that you want something to be forbidden, even after it leaves your domain, it's going to be asr. However, in spite of that, this is where the Gemara is at right now, but if you use the words nechasim elu, then it wouldn't be mashma that it's going to be asr when it leaves his domain. It would only be when it's still in his domain. In other words, that even though when a mother says nechasim elu, and similarly it would seem, when a neider says beischa, when he says bayezeh, there's two which Ron's comparing, and he's asking it in the question. There's when a neider and a mother. A neider is making something forbidden on himself, and then there's a mother who's making his own things forbidden on someone else. So although nechasim elu and bayezeh are seemingly equivalent terms by the mother and the and the Neuder, where they're not talking about the person himself, that it's his, but rather the object. And we learn later on regarding the Neuder, and he says, Bayezez Aser. So then there we see the halacha is that it's going to be Aser even when it leaves that person's domain. So seemingly here also we should have said by the Madr when he says Nechasim Eilu, since the Madr, if he would say explicitly that he wants it to be forbidden even after it leaves his domain, it would be. So then why is the Gemara right now understanding that we're only downgrading from the highest level? We said there's three levels. Nechasai is the lowest, Nechasim Eilu, and the highest when you're explicit. So the Gemara is agreeing and acquiescing that yes, Nechasim, when he says that it explicitly should be forbidden, we see from that Mishnah later on, it's going to be forbidden. You can make it forbidden even when it leaves your domain. But the Gemara is still understanding that Nechasim Eilu is not going to be forbidden. Why? Why is that any different than the Neider, where when the Neider says, Bayezeh, which is the equivalent of Nechasim Eilu, that it is going to be also when it leaves that person's domain. So on the run, that the Ran explains is not comparable. And the reason being is because when a Neider, when someone who's making something else forbidden on himself, when he says, Bayezeh, this house, it sounds like that he's making a house forbidden on himself, either because he doesn't like the house, or because he thinks it has bad mazel, or whatever the reason is. But definitely we understand from his words that he's not making it forbidden because of that owner. It's just the house that he's making forbidden. So therefore, yes, of course, that even when it leaves that person's domain, it's still going to be forbidden on him. Now, however, in the case that Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish are talking about, in the case of our Mishnah, where we're talking about a case of a madir, when someone is making it forbidden onto someone else, that's where the Gemara is at right now, according to Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, that even when he says Nechasim Eilu, these properties, doesn't say Nechasai, my properties, but as long as he's not explicit in saying that it should be us even that leaves his domain, it sounds like, according to Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, that it's only going to be us when it's in his domain. And the reason being, the Ran brings the following logic, is because why should it bother this person to make it forbidden on someone else when it's not his anymore? Mine, I don't want you to have an offer on. So therefore, as long as he wasn't explicit and he only says Nechasim Eilu, these properties, it only means when it's in his domain. So though he could make it Asa when it leaves, but if he doesn't say that, we have no reason to believe he wants to make it Asa even when it's not his anymore. And therefore, the Mishnah makes sense because now we have a Chiddush. There were two questions that we had. The Gemara shortly is going to illustrate the first one. But the second question was, what's the Chiddush? And that we're saying that of course there's a Chiddush, because we're saying that you have to be explicit if you want it to be Asa when it leaves your domain. And therefore, the ratio was mentioned because of the Seifa. And although we asked that, how can you say that a person can't make something forbidden for when it leaves his domain, when you see clearly that B'chayva B'moisa, the father, could make it forbidden, and now we're acquiescing and we're saying that you're right. When you're explicit, it will be. But Nechasim Eilu, according to the interpretation of Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, it's not going to be forbidden when it leaves his domain. So that resolves that. But in that, the Gemara asks, Mikal Malkam Kasha, but it's still difficult, because we haven't answered the first question. Because if it's true that according to Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish, that it's only when you're explicit that it's going to continue being forbidden when it leaves the domain. But if not, it's going to be permitted. So why'd they say Nechasai? Why'd they use those words? They should have said bigger Chiddush, if that's what you're saying they hold, of even when you say like the wording of Rav and Shmuel, of Nechasim Eilu. That even when you say Nechasim Eilu, it's still going to be permitted when the year of Shemitah comes around. Why they say it's only permitted when they use the word Nechasai, my properties, where that's pretty obvious. So El Rav, the Gemara gives a different interpretation. Ben Nechasim Eilu, kule amalei pligi. When, you're right, Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish agree, when the Madar used the words, these properties are forbidden on you, that definitely it's always going to be awesome. Because it's not about the person, it's about the objects, which obviously that's coming to say that even when it's not mine anymore, it's going to be forbidden on you. Ki paligi bin nechasai, the machloek is Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Yechon Shlakish, was when he says, my properties are forbidden on you. That is Rabbi Shmuel, sorry, they hold, loishno nechasim eilu, loishno nechasai, it doesn't make a difference if you said these properties or my properties, odem oiser, a person can make it forbidden on someone else, even when it leaves his domain. Even if he's only using the words my properties. And that is, that although up until now we said the words of Rabbi Yechon and Shlakish were lav davka, when they said Nechasai, that we were explaining in the Havamina, that actually they would hold it even by Nechasim Eilu, because it's following up on Rav Shmuel, who they're arguing on, who used the words Nechasim Eilu. The Gemara now understands that actually the words of Rav Shmuel lav dafka, not necessarily. Although they use the words nechasim elu, it's actually obvious that it's even when you say nechasai. And the reason being is because even if you say nechasim elu, the primary isser according to Rav Shmuel is, even if you're really saying nechasai, that's really what's creating the isser, even for when it leaves the person's domain. And the reason being for this opinion of Rav Shmuel according to Ran is either because even when you say nechasai, it means forever, my properties, even though he says mine, but it means my property, and the properties are forbidden forever. And it's just that he happens to say which properties, what am I referring to, it's those which are right now in my domain. Or because that once an isser takes effect, although he's saying mine, but it doesn't get removed when it leaves to another domain. So whatever reason it is, but they hold nechasai is not limited to when it's his, even when it's not his anymore, but once he made it forbidden, it's forbidden to the person forever. But they hold that no, nechasim, the Bach puts in the girsa elu, nechasim elu adam oiser. A person can make forbidden when it leaves his domain. Again, we're saying Rebbe Yechim Shlokish are agreeing even more now. First, we thought they're always going to say you can't make it forbidden. Then we have broader proof that at least they have to agree when you're explicit. Then, because of the question about Saddam, why they only say Nechasai and not Nechasim Elu, they were saying they agree even more. Pirech Rishlakish agree that even when you say Nechasim Elu, you could make it forbidden when it leaves your domain, because when you're saying these objects, it doesn't mean my objects. So it's even when it's not his anymore. But Nechasai ain't Adam Eiser. But when the person says they're my properties, then you can't make it forbidden when it leaves your domain, because you're only making it forbidden when it's yours and not when it's not yours anymore. And therefore, now the Mishnah makes sense just as much to Rabbi Yechon Shlokish like it does according to Rabbi Shmuel. And that's because Rabbi Yechon Shlokish explained the halach of our Mishnah is talking about when the mother is making it asr on the mudr with using the words of Nechasim Eilu. So therefore, actually the Reisha is teaching, up until now we thought the Reisha, the first halacha, when you take the neder before the Shemitah year, is not teaching any Chiddush. Now the Gemara is explaining that the Reisha is teaching a Chiddush. And that is because even though the Shemitah year comes along, still the person cannot be Yairid and cannot be Eichel. And the reason being is because, now that we're explaining in Brichin and Shlokish, that a person could make something in his domain forbidden for when it leaves his domain. Now, also, the Sefer is also teaching a Chiddush, and that's because, as we're explaining right now, that Rabbi Yechim and Shlokish are learning this as two different halachas, like we had explaining up until now in Rav and Shmuel, not the way we had originally explained in Rabbi Yechim and Shlokish that it was one halacha. Two halachas. There's when you take a neder before Shemitah, and there's halacha when you take the neder in the Shemitah year. When you take the neder in before the Shemitah year, if you say Nechasim Eilu, that's according to Rabbi Yechim and Shlokish, not like Rav and Shmuel, hold it's even when you say Nechasai. When you say Nechasim Eilu, it's a chiddush, even Shemitah year comes along, it's still going to be forbidden on that other person, even like Rabbi Yechon Shlokish, because Nechasim Eilu will make it forbidden, which is what happens in the Shemitah year. Now, the second halacha of the Mishnah is that if you took a neder in the Shemitah year, that's obviously a chiddush too, that still, as the Gemara will later on explain, you can't go into his field, even though seemingly the field should be permitted, because that's also permitted for Hefker, so that people could get to the Shemitah produce. Now, the Ran explains that when Rabbi Yechon and Shlokish say in their statement, Nechasai Alecha, so, but we just explained that the Mishnah is talking about Nechasim Eilu. So now the Ran explains, it's not that they're trying to explain that that's the case of the Mishnah in Nechasai. Rather, they're responding to Rav Shmuel. And they were telling Rav Shmuel as follows. You want to say the Mishnah is talking about Nechasai, because you hold Nechasai and Nechasim Eilu is the same, and therefore, that's the same halacha in the Mishnah. And that, the Rabbi Yechon and Shlokish are telling to Rabbi Shmuel, can't be the time that we're saying Nechasai. Rather, the din must be, as we're saying, Nechasim Eilu. Because if that was the din, then you're right. Before Shemitah, the person would not be able to come to the field and eat the produce. But when it would reach the Shemitah year, then he would be able to eat. And therefore, if that was the halacha that the Mishnah was coming to teach us, then it wouldn't be teaching us anything. As we explained previously, that's obvious that the Shemitah year is going to be permitted when you say Nechasai, as we explained from the other halacha, from Anoida, definitely to the Mander. So therefore, the Rabbi Yechon and Shlokish are telling Rabbi Shmuel, most definitely the Mishnah must be talking about Nechasim Eilu. And that's why the Ned is going to take effect even for after the Shemitah year. So in other words, the Ran is explaining that although the words of Rabbi Shmuel are Nechasai, So how we explain it right now, that the two halachas of the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish, are nechasim elu, that's why it's still asur even when it comes to the Shemitah year. And if, but the words they use in nechasai, so that the Ran explains that nechasai is responding to Rav and Shmuel and saying that no, it can't be the way you're saying that the Mishnah is even by nechasai, that nechasai will be forbidden even after it reaches the Shemitah year. Because that's not the case. Nechasai is permitted once it reaches the Shemitah year, because it's only mine that you're forbidding, not nechasim elu. And if that was what the Mishnah is coming to teach us, the way we originally thought that was what Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish was saying, which is what you're now in this version is saying, that Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish are telling Rav Shmuel, if that's what you're saying, that nechasai is permitted because it's one long case in the Shemitah year, that you don't need the time of the Mishnah to teach us that, because that we know if the Neider says that Beischa, and that's only forbidden when it's your domain, for sure when a mother to a mudr, which is even a lower level of being able to create an iser, for sure it's only going to be limited when it is that person's. So that's where the Gemara is at right now, and explaining this machlekes of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish regarding the interpretation of the Mishnah. They're both agreeing that it's two different cases. Question is, regarding specifically the first case, when you make the neder before the Shemitah year, is the person saying nechasai, like Rav and Shmuel, and that's going to be forbidden even once it reaches the Shemitah year? Or like Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish, is only when you say nechasim elu. But the Gemara continues to ask. And the Gemara asks, u'miyik leman da'amar, is there really such an opinion? In other words, asking on Rav and Shmuel, that loishna nechasim elu, but loishna nechasai, that it doesn't make a difference if you're saying these properties or my property, and that is, according to Rav and Shmuel, that they want to say that even when he says my property, that the property is going to be forbidden even when it leaves his domain. But Vatnan, we learn the Mishnah later on, Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, even, and this is by the most stringent case of the Neider, where we say he could make things forbidden on him more than someone making someone else forbidden. And still the Mishnah there teaches as follows. Ha'im al-Chaver, if someone says to his friend, Kainim l'teich beischa shani nichnas, based on a Neider, I'm forbidden to come into your house, or sadcha shan lekech, or to buy your field. The halacha is, meis ashemach l'acher, if that person dies, or he sells to someone else, it's actually going to be mut, it's going to be permitted. Because, although he said your house is forbidden, but it's your house. When now it's his house, it's permitted. But if he says, l'bay zeh shan nechdes, this house I'm not going to come into, or sad zu shan lekech, this field I'm not going to buy, then meis ashemach l'acher, if he dies, or he sells to someone else, then it's going to be aser. Because it's this house, it's this field, not yours. And therefore, no matter who has it, it's going to be us for me. But one thing that we see is that when he says, l'beischa, to your house, it doesn't. It's not insinuating that it's going to be usr that forever. It's only going to be usr as long as it's that person's. But not when he sells it to someone else. So there the Gemara is asking, if we say that's even by a neider, all the more so we're going to say that by a mader, where it's only talking about nechasai that is making forbidden, where it's only when it's in his domain. So how could you say that Rav Shmuel are saying it's usr when a person says my property is on the person forever, even when it comes into the Shemitah year, when it's everybody's, it moves into someone else's domain? But it can't be, because even the neider, who's stronger in his ability to make it forbidden, it's only when he says beischa, when it's that person's, when it leaves, it's permitted. For sure, by the case of Amad, that someone making someone else forbidden, it's going to be permitted. So Ella, rather, the Gemara concludes as follows. Ki Amri, Rabbi Yechanan Rish Lakish ben Achasai. Rabbi Yechanan Rish Lakish, as their wording was all along, they're talking about a case that when he says, my properties. V'Rav Shmuel ben Achasim Elu, which is like their wording, and we're going to keep to that, which is when the person says, these properties are forbidden you. And actually, V'Loi Pligi, there is no Machlekes. As the Ran explains, Rav Shmuel explained the Mishnah in the case of nechasim eilu, since he said eilu, although he said nechasai, but again, that's, it's as if you said nechasim eilu, it's going to be forbidden even when the Shemitah year comes around. And therefore, the Reish is obviously teaching a big chiddush, because we were wondering all along, according to certain opinions, what's a chiddush? It's a big chiddush. Even though the Shemitah year comes along and it's not your produce, it doesn't make a difference. Since he said nechasim elu, or he says my property, but he means to say these properties, not specifically mine, so therefore it's going to be forbidden even when it comes into the Shemitah year. Now, Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish actually also explained the Mishnah just like that, like Rav Shmuel. But what they were saying was, don't think to explain the Mishnah that it's talking about that even when it reaches the Shemitah year that we're saying that you can't go into the field and you can't eat from it, that it should be even when the person says, my nechasim, nechasai. And the reason is that since once you made an isr nit, even though you made it limited to when it's yours, that isr is not removed, and it should be asr even when it leaves his rishos, meaning when it comes to the Shemitah year. That's what Rabbi Yechiel Mish Lakish are coming to explain, that no, rather it's only we that when a person says nechasai, my properties, it's only going to be asr when it's his properties in his domain. But when the Shemitah year comes around, then everyone else, even the mudr, could eat from his overhanging fruit. And the reason is because now there's no more isr anymore. And therefore, you're right, of course, they're really saying the same thing. It's just a Rav Shmuel will explain the primary halacha of nechasim elu, and Rabbi Yechiel Mish Lakish will come to explain and say, and don't think to say it's even by nechasai, because nechasai is limiting it to when it's his. When it's not his anymore, then it's going to be permitted to the mudr. Now, one thing that the Ram points out is that, interestingly, is that up until now, the Gemara was always quoting Rav Shmuel first, and then Rabbi Yechiel Mish Lakish. Yet here, it doesn't say that. It first quotes Rabbi Yechiel Mish Lakish, and then it quotes Rav Shmuel, and he says the reason for this is because all along throughout the sugya, and actually that's how we explained in one part of the Gemara that although Rabbi Yechiel Mish Lakish used the words nechasai, we explained at one point they really mean to say nechasim elu, because we were learning all along that Rabbi Yechiel Mish Lakish, they were coming to dispute Rav Shmuel, and that is how we were explaining their opinions all along. Now, therefore, now when the Gemara wants to conclude and say loy pligi, that they're not arguing, for that reason, they specifically put Rabbi Yechiel Mish Lakish first before Rav Shmuel, said you should know that they're not coming to argue on them because if they're first, they're not disputing of the other ones. That's why we go ahead and we say them first. So again, no one's arguing. The halacha of our Mishnah is talking about nechasim eilu. It is two different halachas. There's halacha of when you take a neder before Shemitah. The chiddush is that it will be aser even after the Shemitah year comes along, when it's l'kishayatzim reshusa, because you said nechasim eilu. And Rabbi Yechiel Mish Lakish agree to that. They just say that it doesn't apply when you say nechasai. And then the second halacha says that, as with the Gemara is going to quote right now, u'bishvius, but if you took the neder in the Shemitah year, then ein yer l'tech sedehu. Then, and that's the chiddush in this part of the Mishnah, that even though it's a Shemitah year, where it's permitted generally for people to come into the person's field, as the other halacha of the Sefer teaches, that aval eichel min ha-netiyas ha-noitis, that even the mudr could go ahead and eat from the hefker fruit because it's not that madr's anymore because he took the neder only when it was ready to Shemitah year, but the field he could make forbidden on the mudr. So the Gemara wonders why. Why is it any different that the mudr, the person who's forbidden based on the neder to eat from the overhanging fruit, the peridef keri inon, because this person, the madr, only took the neder in the middle of the Shemitah year. Now, it's already too late. Once the Shemitah year starts, all the fruits are hefker. That's why he could eat from his fruits. But ara nami afkara, but the land is also hefker. In other words, it's also ownerless, at least in regards to being able to pick the fruits. So why does the Mishnah tell us that he can't go into the field to pick the fruits? Yes, the fruits you're saying is permitted, but why can't he go into the fields? Hashem let people go into the fields to pick the fruits. And therefore, it's not his in regards to that. So how could he make it usur on the mudr? So that the Gemara says two interpretations. Amar Ula, he says, we're talking about trees that are on the boundaries of the field. In other words, yes, you're right. To go ahead and pick from the fruits that are in the middle of the field, it is permitted for the mudr to go in. What the halacha of our Mishnah is talking about is, but to pick the fruits of the trees that are on the boundaries, that is not permitted. And the reason being is because the Torah didn't make that person's field ownerless, only in regards to allowing people to come and pick from the fruits. Now, therefore, since these fruits could be picked without coming into the field, so therefore, since he's forbidden based on the neder to come into the field, he's not allowed to come into the field because the whole dispensation would be to pick, and you don't need to come in to pick. Reb Shimon ben Eliyakim, he says a different interpretation. He says, "Gzeirah shemayisha b'amida." It's a decree that maybe you might delay in your staying over there in the field, and therefore he holds that even to pick the fruit trees in the middle of the field, this mudr is forbidden to come into the field, because although according to the basic halacha, you are permitted because, yes, Hashem made the person's field hefker to allow people to pick from the fruit, which this person is allowed to, because the neder was only made in the middle of the Shemitah year, which is already too late, it's not his fruits anymore. However, because of a gezerah, it's going to be usur because you might delay. And if you tarry there and you're not staying there just to pick the fruits, well, then you don't have that dispensation. And then you're violating the neder of having hana from this person who, Drisa's regal is a forbidden hana from the mother. Now the Ram points out one thing, as we alluded to on Lama Testament Aleph. Although over here Bishim Bal Yaakov is saying it's forbidden to, because you might delay even regarding standing, yet regarding Bikr Chaylam, Shmuel only said that the whole prohibition of a mother and the mudr is regarding sitting that you might delay, but regarding standing there was no such a gezerah, because if then it would be forbidden to do Bikr Chaylam at all, even regarding standing. On that, the Ran explains that the other reason is because since generally when someone visits the sick, he sits down, but you need him, you require him to stand, so there's what's called a hecker. This obviously, it's a reminder for him that he shouldn't delay there in his standing, because I know why I'm standing is because I can't give this person hana, so I'm not going to stay there too long and tarry and then get involved in times where, let's say, you should be compensated for that and thus give hana to the mudr. But here, when the person's standing in the field picking the fruit, there's no reminder because no one picks fruits sitting down. You only pick fruit standing. And therefore, there's no reminder that you shouldn't just delay there and tarry, which would then be a violation of the neder. And that's what Rabbi Shmuel Yaakov says, you can't come into the field at all because there's no reminder and you might tarry there and thus violate the neder that this person made in you, which he could make even in the Shemitah year. Because although Hashem said that people could come into his field, it's only in the context of coming into the field to pick the fruits. But he could make it forbidden for people to come into his field for not picking fruits purposes. And he made this mudr forbidden. And therefore, Rabbi Shmuel Yaakov says he can't even come into the pick the fruits. Gzeira, because if he comes in to pick the fruit, he might delay and then violate this nadra.